You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, now, Don, you will be aware that over probably the best part of, a year, we've been giving updates on iCook Foods, which to me and many others is the most disgraceful form of political corruption you can get in any form of government anywhere in the world. And this state government stands condemned for what is an open and shut case about corruption to rot out of business a private enterprise company solely for the purpose of the government installing its state government-run company, to get the private company, iCook Foods, out of business and take it over. And now they've gone broke and bankrupt and don't exist, and iCooks are out of business. And this has been going on the best part of a year, and it is just going on and on, and somehow this is going to come to a conclusion to the benefit, we hope, of iCook Foods.
But what worries me, John, is not the ramifications. Are we just scratching the surface? If this is one case, what else has this Victorian Labor Party done in the world of corruption with regard to different aspects of our life or our society or our business world? If this is what worries me.
And this is the very point of why we are trying to do our best to bring this to a head, because, as you say, this has far greater reaching, far more reaching as consequences than just a private company going out of business. But as an update, we don't like to canvass any of these things unless we can add some more information. We've got Sir Robert Richter's on board trying to do this. And we have Ian Cook's son in to speak to us today. Ben Cook, welcome, Ben.
Thank you, Sam.
Now, Ben, I it has been brought to my attention, so this is why we asked you to come in, that the chief executive officer of the Greater Dandenong City Council, they said there was a report done on him, a police report, and because it looks like to me that the statute of limitations or the time constraints that he had to give information has passed, and now they can't question him or prosecute him. Please tell me that's not true. That is just another stonewalling attribute or device that the government are using.
Yeah, so there's a few things to unpack in that.
Was any of that correct?
Yes.
Some of it.
You've done pretty well. But firstly, we were given our hard drive and the files that we'd handed over to the Victorian Police back to us upon what they concluded was the investigation, where no charges would be laid. And from that, we reviewed our hard drive. And what we found in our hard drive was a secret police report, which listed a number of findings.
I hope most people just speak into that. That's right. That was a bit vague there. Go on. A bit soft. Well, I'm sorry. It was a bit soft.
That's okay.
Now you're going beautifully.
Okay. And so with that secret police report, we found some findings on John Benny.
Can I ask a question? What on your hard drive you found...
He was
a report. Hang on. How did the report get on your hard drive? Is that a mistake by the police?
Whether it be a mistake by the police or whether there's a policeman with a conscience out there and wanted us to know some truths behind the fact that John Benny did break the law.
Wow.
Because I've brought the report with me, and I'll read you the pertinent section. Basically, it prefaces who John Benny is as the CEO of Dandenong City Council. It then goes on to say that the information that John Benny disclosed to Community Chef, the state-run government business that we were the main competitor to, he went to their business meeting, board of directors, on the 22nd, the day we were closed down, And the report says, this information was given to John Benny, our closure, being the information, in his role as CEO of the City of Greater Dandenong by John Benny disclosing this information to the Board of Community Chef prior to this knowledge being made public. He did so in breach of Section 54(1) of the Food Act. And the finding says, John Benny has committed an offence against Section 54(1) of the Food Act. However, given that this is a summary offence and was committed on the 22nd of February 2019, it is now out of statute and Victoria Police are unable to prosecute. Now, before you interrupt and want to ask more questions, let's stop there and say the statute of limitations may have run out on that particular offence. As the CEO of the City of Greater Dandenong, as a local government, there is a code of conduct, and the conduct of breaching privacy information and giving that to a direct competitor of ours, which he full well knew that he was a competitor, he knew that he was conflicted, to walk into that meeting is a blatant abuse of that code of conduct, and I would constitute that as misconduct. So under Section 320 of the Crimes Act, why is the Victorian Police not charging Mr. John Benny for misconduct in public office, which is Section 320 of the Crimes Act? Answer me that.
Well, so, also, could I add or ask a question? I thought Community Chef also had local councils as shareholders, and I thought the Dandenong Council was also a shareholder or a participant or whatever else.
Correct.
In Community Chef.
It was. So there is a number, Hobson's Bay, City of Greater Dandenong, the director or the directors of Community Chef were made up of a number of people across the industry, but John Benny, as CEO of City of Dandenong, was a director.
So Ben, I think you're saying, I'm saying it, that the police seem to have deliberately slowed down the process of this being investigated so that they deliberately ran down the time constraints so that the statute of limitations or the time involved would run out, and this was a tactic of theirs through government action.
Yeah, well, so the complaint was made to the City of Dandenong Victoria Police. They took the action up with Ash Penry, was the first officer. That went through till about mid-2020 when the case was taken off him. It was then moved across to Moorabbin CIU. It was then moved.
So the police have effectively helped the CEO, Mr. Benny, avoid being prosecuted or charged.
It would appear that way. Yes, I agree.
Yes, Don. Sorry.
No.
So you're now suing the Department of Health and the council. Will you be using the police report that you've got your hands on?
Oh, most definitely. So this is just one piece of information that we found within the hard drive. There was a number of other documents that we found.
What on your hard drive?
Yes.
This information that's coming forward, are there people out there with consciences helping you?
I'd like to think that there are good Victorian police officers who are helping.
Because I'm asking the question, but how does this appear on your hard drive?
Well, that's exactly why I can't answer that. All I can say, it is there. So whether that be someone who has blatantly put it on there with a good conscience, or it's someone who put it on there and tried to delete
it. Were you told, go back and listen to your hard drive?
No.
So it was just by accident?
No, we purposely pulled through and searched the document. Because remember, in the first investigation, we then were told, no, there's no crimes, and no, that's it. And we got everything back. That's where we found the other report from Ash Penry. So they handed the hard drive back to us with that report on it.
Is that incompetence on their part, not covering their arse?
I don't know. It was hidden within the recycle bin, but they hadn't properly, like, just because you put it in the recycle bin doesn't mean you delete it. So we just found it sitting there. Now, what that says is that the Ash Penry document is what triggered the second investigation to be opened by Chief Commissioner Patton. And, you know, my father and I talked about it when we were getting the second investigation hard drive back, and I said, you know, it'll be interesting to see if there's any more documents on it. And he laughed at me and said, they can't be if it was stupidity, they can't be stupid twice. Well, they either are stupid twice or there is someone trying to help us.
So you've had two retired detectives or retired police officers take up the cudgels on your behalf. The very well and respected Kel Glare,
yes.
ex-chief commissioner, he has said that this is just a blatant case of corruption that is just staggering. So maybe there is a whistleblower or someone who has leaked this or is trying to make sure that the wrong is righted. I notice a man called Gavin Bucket.
Yep.
Gavin Bucket, the unlikely name of Gavin Bucket. Is someone else that you might be pursuing?
So there's another action afoot in the Supreme Court.
Who is Gavin Bucket?
Gavin Bucket is the supposedly, I'll put inverted commas, independent auditor.
Yep.
So when we were closed, the closure order from Dr. Sutton was that we needed to get an auditor in and have the premises audited. We did have that audit conducted.
Excuse me, can I ask a question? Is it audit for what, financial or health?
No, for the food premises needed to be audited. So a food premises, being iCook Foods, needed to be audited
from
by
a food auditor. Yeah, from a food auditor.
So there's a list of approved food auditors.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and so there's of that list, the Department of Health and Human Services approves people to be auditors within the state of Victoria. So we engaged Gavin Bucket. He provided me with a certificate that said we should be permitted to reopen. And fix the things that he thought, you know, could be improved. And then later that day, he was on the phone with the Department of Health. He was then, a few days later, we find that he was emailing the City of Dandenong. He was emailing the Department of Health.
Yeah.
And he was saying in an email, and I have that email, and it's been submitted to the court as evidence. Is
what he was would you passing like? On information.
He said, "What would you like me to add or remove?"
Yep.
Oh, really?
At what part does independent and asking the people who shut us down what you want me to add or
so,
remove?
So okay. So Ben, I presume. Robert Richter QC knows this.
Yep.
I presume
it was in court just the other day. We had a directions hearing.
So what do they answer to these things if these are facts?
Oh, they said, "Oh no, well, that's all innocent." And as Dr. Michelle Sharp, who is assisting with our case, she turned around and said, "If it's innocent, what on earth?" Because there's also another file note that is written by Pauline Maloney from the Department of Health and Human Services and Leanne Johnson, the Coordinator of Public Health. There's a file note that was written between the two of them having a phone call where they say, "We need to protect Gavin Bucket." What do you need to protect an independent auditor from?
But if there's documentation with Mr. Bucket sending advice or to the... If there's actually if that is a text or an email, how can you say that it's there in black that is illegal and you shouldn't be doing that? How can anyone dispute that?
That's not the only document. There's another document from Elizabeth Garlick, the woman who planted the slug.
Yes,
and she writes on her first visit, she writes a bunch of notes, and in those notes she says, "Is there a way we can get the magistrate to stop them? Is there a way we can do it under the Public Health and Wellbeing Act? Can we get them to stop operating via planning and compliance?" If this was a listeria issue, why on earth are you bringing planning and compliance in to try and stop us operating off your two-hour visit on the first time you've entered my premises?
So, Ben...
Hang on, John.
Yep.
Joe, why were you in court last week? What were you trying to achieve in court last week?
So that was our further amended statement of claim. So you put a statement of claim into the court and you amend that where you see you need to particularise something better, or the other side believe that it isn't particularised correctly. So directions hearing are simply, in my layman's terms and my basic knowledge of what I've learned, is that a directions hearing is simply the court hearing the matter from both sides and pushing the case along towards
when
the trial
new
date.
Issues come up.
Yeah.
When new issues come up,
yeah.
You then go to court to see whether this is submittable
like
in
if,
the actual
if we
court.
If we put something forward to the other side,
yes,
and they agree to it, then it's fine. It gets filed with the court,
right.
And we move on. If there needs to be a sort of a contest around the decision, then you go to have a directions hearing on whether the judge has to rule on how that will move forward to keep the case
okay.
moving.
So will there be other you don't know whether there's going to be other submissions to the court when your actual court case is? When's your actual court case?
Well, we were hoping to find that out because that got pushed off. We were actually hoping to find that out at this latest directions hearing, but we haven't heard yet. We are told that it might be somewhere in August, September.
But hang on, I thought it was going to be in the earlier this year. Last year, we interviewed
Don,
your father.
They keep they you.
It's
you,
been pushed
you've
off.
Got to understand what's going on here.
I understand, John, but I think people have got to be aware of this.
I'm not saying you don't understand. I say you people have got to understand that this is an orchestrated plan by the government to show that this is an organised plan, but to just escape being accused of being corrupt and dishonest, and they are panicking, they are duck shoving. They've been sued for $50 million for erroneously and illegally.
Yeah, I understand all of that.
Well, so they are just trying to run the clock out and hope that this will.
How long?
The day we find out a date, I will personally call you, Don, and let you know because you can put that out as an update. We don't know the date yet. And so you've got to understand that a court case, if you and I had a dispute, it might be a dispute that the court sees would last 3 days. And they would look at their timetable and say, okay, there's 3 days, we can have it there. Our court case is not exactly a small case, so there needs to be a large enough block that they can put it forward and say, okay, it's going to fit there. Okay, so
thank you.
They're trying to work that out. We don't have that date yet.
Okay.
And when we do, we'll let you know.
Okay, well, now, George,
yes,
I said after the first interview we did, when we exposed this, I think we were the first to do it, this should be a film script. I couldn't believe the intrigue. And my thoughts then have been reinforced with what you've just come up. This would make an unbelievable... You just couldn't dream up these different scenarios and the little things that are happening behind the scenes to try and influence a case.
A bit like the McDonald's scam. Remember that? They did the thing on the McDonald's, the bloke who organised the bogus prizes for McDonald's, the fast food chain in America?
No, you're on your own here. Go for it,
man. That was the pinnacle. That's exactly the same situation.
Well, I want you to find it because I want to read up on it.
Has anybody come to you, saying we could make a film out of this?
We've had a few people come to us and
really
talk about it. Yeah, and at this point, look, maybe down the track.
It's called McMoney.
McMoney. Okay.
McMoney, and it's a bloke who organised the Monopoly prizes. And he rang up his friends, and this is absolutely legitimate, rang up his friends and told them, gave him the blank chocks for the blank discs for the Monopoly, and you had to match them up, and they had to act that they were surprised that they'd won $1 million. And it's called McMoney, and that's exactly what's going on here.
Well,
you look at it, the film was done by Marky Mark. What's his name?
Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. He produced it, and it was about a 6-part series on called McMoney, how they rorted McDonald's, and huge money was paid, and people went to jail, and all that sort of stuff. So that's exactly what's going on here.
Well, yeah.
How are you holding out personally, both you and your family, your father, yourself, and your families?
We're good. I mean, I won't say that it's not easy. I mean, you wake up every day with a weight around your neck, knowing that the problem is still there. It's not gone. But that problem will be resolved, and we will win. And the government need to know. We've said this from the beginning. They chose the wrong family to try and destroy, because we stick together like you wouldn't believe. And we have got the
support. Yeah, we might
people.
Stick together, but how are you going? It must be tough financially for you.
It is emotionally, financially, mentally, physically. You know, there are so many things that take its toll on you. But all I can say is that when I'm down, I pick my dad up. When my dad's down, I pick him up. When my mum is down, I pick her up. When I'm down,
they pick you up.
Okay, mate.
It is all that process. And with that, we have support of people like yourself, Sam, Andrew Bogart, you know, our lawyers. You know, they constantly support us and tell us that what is going on is very hard and give us motivation, which, you know, people say that lawyers are all just, you know, thieves for your hip pocket. Well, you know, they have consciences too, and they've been very supportive. And then the wider Twitter public, that I'm on Twitter, and, you know, they've been extremely supportive. You know, people on Facebook, people who write letters into iCook Food still, you know, it is huge support out there, and we look forward to holding people to account for their decisions.
Righto, Don. Thank you very much, Ben, from iCook Foods and Don. And that's it. We will...
Keep them updated. People updated on the developments.
That's exactly what we'll do.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.